Nation Singapore podcast. We hope you'll enjoy this message by Pastor Joey Bonifacio.
Today I want to ask you the question, why? Why is there COVID in the first place? And now why are we wearing all these masks? Why is the economy tumbling at the rate that it is? Why is our school not functioning the way it should? Why are there so much sickness and diseases around us? Why are things closed? Why is the vaccine not becoming what we were expecting it to be? And finally, why are things canceled? The question that everyone is asking. Unlike animals who don't ask why, we are a people who ask why because we're a people who have what differentiates us from animals is we seek wisdom. In the last month, we talked about the word zeal, the proper approach to a beginning of a year, the determined, diligent, enthusiastic pursuit of God and His kingdom. But the Bible also warns us that zeal without wisdom is dangerous. Hence, I want to tackle the word wisdom for you as you approach this year, the ability to properly exercise and execute sound knowledge. The Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 10, verse 2, talks about the Jews. For I can testify about them, that they are zealous for God, but their zeal is not based on knowledge. He's actually speaking about himself, where he was zealously persecuting Christians without realizing sound knowledge or wisdom that he was persecuting God's body himself. When you speak of wisdom, there are three major books in the Bible that pertain to it. The biggest one, as we all know, is the book of Proverbs. The second is the book of Ecclesiastes, but a lot of people don't know that the third biggest book that explains wisdom is the book of Job. Many people think that the book of Job is about suffering, but the reality is it is more about wisdom. The 42 chapters of the book of Job, 23 word times the word wisdom is mentioned. The word wise is mentioned 11 times, the word knowledge 9 times, the word understanding 21 times. It's often referred to as the oldest book in the Bible, and when you read it, it's actually like reading or watching a play. When you watch a play, you see the actors, but the actors don't really see the whole picture as you do. It would be like a Shakespearean play or a Shakespearean writing where you're watching the protagonist and the actors, but they don't see the whole picture. You do. And as you watch that, you begin to gain wisdom as the whole play unfolds. Job chapter 1 verse 1 speaks about the story. In the land of Uz, there lived a man whose name was Job. This man was blameless and upright. He feared God and shunned evil. Very straightforward. We understand the kind of person he is. Loves God, fears God, hates evil. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters. He was a family man. He owned 7,000 sheep. That means he was a wealthy, successful, a man who had wisdom, 3,000 camels, 300 yoke of oxen, and 500 donkeys. Early in the morning, he would sacrifice a burnt offering for each of them, thinking, perhaps my children have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. This was Job's regular custom. In other words, he had his practices about spirituality in place. Now, notice where it says in verse 6 and 7, a shift from being on earth watching the story of our main character Job to one day the angels came and present themselves before the Lord. And Satan also came with them. The Lord said to Satan, "Where have you come from?" Notice the words, "one day the angels came to present themselves before the Lord." On the first part of chapter 1, we see Job on earth, and now we find ourselves in heaven, a place where Job has no idea is happening. And this is part of wisdom. We don't always see the big picture. Now, notice where it says Satan also came with them. And you're probably wondering, what is Satan doing there? Now, God's allowing Satan to do this, and we will see as this unfolds the wisdom behind why God will not kill Satan just yet. Now, notice where it says in the second half of verse 7, Satan answered the Lord from roaming throughout the earth, going back and forth on it. Then the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. He's blameless, upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil." God is literally bragging about Job, but Job has no idea that this was happening, that he was actually the subject of a conversation in heaven. "Does Job fear God for nothing?" Satan replied. "Have you not put a hedge around him and his household and everything he has?" Essentially, what Satan is saying is the only reason why he's serving you or praising you is because you protected him. You blessed the work of his hands so that his flocks and herds are spread throughout the land. Obviously, you do that so he's going to respect you and honor you and worship you. But now stretch out your hand and strike everything he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. Now, Satan is accusing God and accusing Job and saying the only reason why this relationship you have with each other is working is because you're getting the best of each other. Now, the Lord said to Satan, very well then, in wisdom, you have everything he has is in your power. On the man himself, do not lay a finger on him. Don't lay a finger on his physical body. Then Satan went out from his presence, from the presence of the Lord. The next thing that happens is we're back on earth. This time we find that Job is encountered by his four messengers. The four messengers, the first one arrives and says, the Sabaeans attacked and all your oxen, your donkeys are gone. They've been taken away by them. Fire from heaven came and all your sheep and all your servants are dead. The Chaldeans swept and stole all your camels and all your servants and put them to the sword. And your sons and daughters, it was a mighty wind, and your sons and daughters, the whole house collapsed and they're all dead. Now, this all happened within one day. The Bible actually says that before one servant was finished making a report, the other's one arrived. Now, the author of this is obviously Satan. God did allow him because of wisdom, as we will see in a bit. Now, in Job chapter 1, verse 20 and 21, it says, at this, Job got up and tore his robe and shaved his head, fell on the ground in worship and said, naked I came from my mother's womb and naked I will depart. Notice the words, worship. The Lord gave, the Lord has taken away, may the name of the Lord be praised. That's not an easy thing to do. But notice what it says, that he kept on worshiping God and did not sin by charging God with wrongdoing. The moment in heaven does not end there. Satan continues to accuse Job. In Job chapter 2, verse 4, it says, skin for skin, Satan replied, a man will give all he has for his own life. But now stretch out your hand and strike his flesh and bones, and he will surely curse you to your face. Now you've protected his property. Now if you put sickness and disease on this man, he's not going to worship you anymore. The Lord said to Satan, very well then, he is in your hands, but you must spare his life. In other words, you can give him disease and pain and all of that, but you cannot kill him. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and afflicted Job with painful sores from the soles of his feet to the crown of his head. This is just in the opening chapters of the book of Job, which is why we can learn wisdom. The answer to why or wisdom starts with knowing there's a big picture that we don't often see. Job did not see the bigger picture of God having this conversation in heaven. And many times we lose wisdom when we're in pain, when business is not working as well, because we don't see the big picture. As I thought of how to illustrate this, I was reminded of the fabrics of England back in the early 1700s. This is what they looked like. They were handmade. But over the years, these fabrics will get better because of the invention of the looms, the beginnings of the Industrial Revolution. Because of the looms, the fabrics got better in quality and could be made faster, causing the British to be able to export fabric and grow financially as a nation. A group of people known as the Luddites did not like that because their craft was using hands. And they were complaining and saying that we should not put down this machinery because it's destroying our jobs. The Luddites became a rebellious movement that would burn factories down and kill people who would run these factories. At some point, the British government would have to set out rewards to capture these rebels because they were operating on a limited picture. Wisdom starts with knowing there is a bigger picture that we don't see. England would become an industrial powerhouse. More people would have more jobs. There would be railways. Agriculture would be able to move from farm to land to exports, and more jobs will be made. Wisdom becomes a problem when we're viewing it from a limited time frame and not allowing God to play things out as they were. It's like what's happening to us right now. Jobs are contracting, industries are happening, but something greater can be birthed out of this if we will allow ourselves to see the bigger picture that we don't see currently right now. Wisdom starts with understanding there's a bigger picture. But secondly, we need to understand that wisdom is that God is not the author of bad things. As we've seen in the story of Job, it wasn't God who sent the diseases or the plagues or the Sabaeans. It was Satan. But the question that we need to ask, or is often asked, is if God's not the author of bad things, why does God allow bad things to happen to good people like Job, which we know he is? The answer to that is simply this. God's wisdom is an extension of his love. When we see wisdom as just an end on its own and not realizing that it's really God's love that is manifested in wisdom, we forget to understand the true value and merit of God's wisdom. Imagine a child who needs to have an inoculation or a vaccine. The inoculation or the vaccine is good for him. But before that good gets to him, he feels bad about the injection because life is filled with both the good and the bad. A world that is all bad is not going to work. And the world that is all good is still not going to work. A world that sees both the good and the bad allows us to make the choice and say, regardless of the good and the bad, as Job did, I understand that I will serve God. And over time, his wisdom will be revealed. When a child realizes that that vaccine is actually the thing that will save his life, then he realizes that little pinch is nothing compared to the greater reality of the salvation that comes from having that vaccine. As human beings, we're not like animals. Even a child is seeking to know why. We instinctively know and ask the question, why is this happening? If we're to have wisdom in this season, wisdom starts with knowing there is a bigger picture we don't see. That God is not the author of bad things and his wisdom is an extension of his love. As we move forward in the story of Job, we find the question why even further, where he searches for wisdom. Typically, when we look for wisdom, we look for it in conventional places. Relatives, for example, parents, spouses, or people we know. In Job chapter 2, verse 9, his wife says to him, "Are you still maintaining your integrity? Curse God and die." Notice, there is no wisdom in the words of his wife. Now, please understand, I do realize that his wife is probably just burdened like him. They're married to each other. Think about losing all your children. Think about losing all your wealth. And think about watching your husband waste away. Wisdom is limited when we seek for it in conventional places or from humans because they don't see the big picture just as we don't see the whole picture. And many times, when we're going through depression ourselves, we hear well-meaning relatives and advice from people, but instead of it helping us, it actually just makes us feel even more guilty. We need to be careful when we're the ones giving wisdom to others that we're not just making them feel more guilty because life's not working at the moment. In verse 10, Job replied, "You are talking like a foolish woman." In other words, you have no wisdom. Shall we expect good from God and not trouble? In all this, Job refused to sin in what he said. The search for wisdom is not just from conventional wisdom of relatives. In the case of Job, it came from friends. Realizing that Job was a wealthy man, a wise man, a successful man, his friends were also not just friends, they were experts. Conventional wisdom leads us to these places, relatives, friends, experts. Down in verse 11, when the three friends of Job realizes his predicament, Eliphaz the Temanite, Bildad the Shulite, and Zophar the Naamathite heard about all the troubles that he had come upon him. They set out from their homes and met together by agreement to go and sympathize with him and comfort him. Now, we all need friends like this. When they saw him from a distance, they could hardly recognize him because of what has happened to him. They began to weep aloud, and they tore their robes and sprinkled dust on their heads. Then they sat on the ground with him for 7 days and seven nights. No one said a word to him because they saw how great his suffering was. Thank God these people had the wisdom not to say anything to someone like that. Now, what happens next is we find when we ask questions or we ask why, it generally produces even more questions. And that's what happens in Job chapter 2 all the way to chapter 21. Conventional wisdom usually is if bad things happen to you, it's only because you did something bad. when you start reading Job chapter 2 to chapter 20, you will find that this was basically the conversation with his friends after being silent for 7 days. They couldn't help themselves trying to explain conventional human wisdom. Now, down in chapter 16, here's now Job pushing back to his friends. I've heard many things like these. You are miserable comforters. You're not helping me, all of you. Will your long-winded speeches never end? What ails you that you keep arguing? I also could speak like you. In other words, I can give the same seminars you're giving, but if you were in my place, I could make fine speeches against you and shake my head at you. But my mouth would encourage you, comfort my lips would bring you relief. Job is basically saying your wisdom, your human wisdom, your conventional wisdom is not hitting the mark. Then Job replied, listen carefully to my words. Let this be the consolation you give me. Bear with me while I speak. After I've spoken, mock on. He's mocking them because he feels like they're mocking him. I like this quote from Jim Carrey, the famous actor. He says, I hope everybody could get rich and famous and will have everything they ever dreamed of. So they will know that it's not the answer, there's no answer there. In other words, sometimes our conventional wisdom is, if I just had this, if I had this thing, I would have all the answers to my life. Fact of the matter is, there are things that are beyond us, regardless of what kind of wisdom we have, particularly if we trust only on conventional wisdom. Job chapter 21 verse 7 says, why do the wicked live on, growing old and increasing in power? He's asking the question, why? Why is it that I'm having a hard time and the wicked are growing old and increasing in power? They see their children established around them, their offspring before their eyes. Their homes are safe and free from fear. The rod of God is not on them. Their bulls never fail to breed. Their cows and calves do not miscarry. They send forth their children as flock, and the little ones dance about. They're partying, and here I am languishing, and I'm the one who's serving God. They spend their years in prosperity and go on to the grave in peace. And yet they say to God, leave us alone. We have no desire to know your ways. That is a question you and I ask, isn't it? Why is it that I'm the one who's given my best to God? I'm the one who served God. I'm the one who's tithed. I'm the one who's often worshipped Him. And yet here I am, not knowing the answers to my question, why? We're searching for wisdom in conventional wisdom. When that fails us, we go to the next step, which is our own wisdom. And that's exactly what happened to Job. Probably my favorite chapter in the book of Job is Job chapter 28. Beginning in verse 1, he says, there is a mine for silver and a place where gold is refined. Iron is taken from the earth and copper smelted from ore. Mortals put an end to darkness and they search for the farthest recesses for ore in the blackest of darkness. They tunnel through the rock. Their eyes see through all the treasures. They search the sources of the rivers to bring hidden things to light. Then he poses the question in verse 12 and 13. But where can wisdom be found? Where does understanding dwell? No mortal comprehends its worth. It cannot be found in the land of the living. He's asking the question that you and I are asking. Why? Where do I find this understanding? The deep says, it is not with me. The sea says, it is not with me. It cannot be bought with the finest of gold, nor can its price be weighed out in silver. It cannot be bought with the gold of Ophir, one of the most precious type of gold, with precious onyx or lapis lazuli. Neither gold nor crystal can compare with it, nor can it be had for the jewels of gold. He's basically saying this priceless, rare commodity called wisdom is not something you find just anywhere, not even from my own experiences. Where then does wisdom come from? And where does understanding dwell? He asks a second time. Is it hidden from the eyes of every living thing, concealed from every bird of the sky? In short, conventional human wisdom, my own wisdom, often ends in a dead end. There is no wisdom there. Because when we search for wisdom in conventional places or our own wisdom, we realize human wisdom has its limits. A book that I've tried to read, very thick, is the biography of this man, Steve Jobs, by Walter Isaacson. At the tail end of the book, I've not read the whole book to confess. It's so thick, I've read half of it. I went to the last pages of the book. And there Steve Jobs was asking the question, why? Why all this wisdom? Why all this human knowledge only to end in death? Because the fact of the matter is, the more we seek human conventional wisdom, our own wisdom, our wisdom has limits. Down in chapter 29 to 30, we find the climax of the story of Job. He begins to self-pity and begins to understand that his self-wisdom and the wisdom of this earth is not enough to fulfill the very cravings of his soul. We know the story because we saw it. He doesn't. And many times that's what happens to us when we find our place in these tough places. Notice where it says in Job chapter 29, verses 7 to 8, when I went to the gate of the city and took my seat in the public squares, the young men saw me and they stepped aside and the old men rose to their feet. He was remembering what life used to be. The chief of men refrained from speaking and covered their mouths with their hands. Their voices of the nobles were hushed and their tongues stuck to the roof of their mouths. They couldn't speak because just my presence was enough to remind them. Now we're beginning to realize that all the goodness of Job had pride in there. I chose the way for them and sat as their chief. I dwelt as king among his troops. I was like the one who comforts the mourners. He's beginning to talk about all his self-pity. But now they mock me, men younger than I. I chose the way for them and sat as their chief. And these are men younger than me, have not achieved anything, and yet they watch me as a person of failure. Further, in chapter 31 and 32, he goes from self-pity to self-righteousness. He goes saying, I made a covenant with my eyes. I'm not even looking lustfully at the woman. If I have denied justice to any of my servants, whether male or female, he was recounting all the good things he did and yet wondering, why do I have not the wisdom I need for the moment? If I have put my trust in gold and said, pure gold, you are my security, I have rejoiced over my great wealth, I didn't do that. If I have rejoiced at my enemy's misfortune or gloated over the trouble that came to him, I didn't do that. If I had concealed my sin as people do by hiding my guilt, I didn't do that. I've lived for righteousness. Oh, that I had someone to hear me. I sign now in my defense. Let the Almighty answer me. Let my accuser put his indictment in writing. And finally, at the end of it all, the words of Job are ended. There's nothing to explain this wisdom that is from above. So these three men also stopped answering Job because he was righteous in his own eyes. And they knew that self-righteousness and self-pity is not going to bring about wisdom. Therefore, we ask why. And we find the ultimate source of wisdom in the book of Job, God's wisdom. We find that in Job chapter 38 and 39. Beginning in verse 1 of chapter 38, then the Lord spoke to Job. By the way, this is worth reading tonight. And he said, spoke to Job in a storm. I'm going to give you a few of the verses, but if you really want to be wise, you want to read this book. Who is this that obscures my plans with words without knowledge? He's basically saying, how dare you even talk to me about this? You don't know anything. Brace yourself like a man. I will question you, and you shall answer me. And God begins to question him. Where were you when I laid the earth's foundation? Tell me if you understand. Who marked off its dimension? Surely you know who stretched a measuring line across it. Have you ever seen the earth? How massive, how glorious, how big, the planets? And question God's wisdom rather than trust his wisdom? That his wisdom is based over a greater perspective that we don't see, that is going to be played out over time. That all our conventions and all our relatives and all our friends and all the seminars we've attended will fail us. And God begins to say, have you journeyed the springs of the sea and walked the recesses of the deep? Have the gates of death, have you been there? Have you ever experienced what death looks like? Or have seen the gates of the deepest of darkness? In chapter 40 and verse 4, in chapter 41, he begins to talk about behemoths and dinosaurs and leviathans. And do you even understand that I made these things? Job realizes, finally, in chapter 42, I know that you can do all things. No purpose of yours can be thwarted. You asked, who is this that obscures my plans without knowledge? And finally, the settling of true wisdom. Surely I spoke of things I did not understand, things too wonderful for me to know. I love this, probably the best verse in this entire book. Chapter 42, verses 5 and 6. My ears have heard of you, and that sometimes is the case with us. We hear a lot of things about God, but he says, but now my eyes have seen you. Therefore, I despise myself, and I repent in dust and ashes. Why? How do you finally get the ultimate source of wisdom? To trust in God's wisdom. And here's the beautiful thing when you trust in God's wisdom. The final chapters of the book of Job says, God's wisdom vindicates. God's wisdom is not just the ultimate source of all true wisdom. It always vindicates over time, over seasons, when we understand it's rooted in his love. Job chapter 42, verse 7, after the Lord had said these things to Job, he said to Eliphaz the Temanite, I'm angry with you and your two friends because you have not spoken the truth about me as my servant Job has. Notice where God, if you're struggling right now, business is not working, your health's not working, stick with God's wisdom. It always vindicates. So now take 7 bulls and 7 rams and go to my servant Job and sacrifice a burnt offering for yourselves. My servant Job will pray for you and I will accept his prayer. And do not deal with you accordingly to your folly. You have not spoken the truth about me as my servant Job has. Verse 9 says, so Eliphaz the Temanite and Bildad the Shuhite and Zophar the Naamathite did what the Lord told them. And the Lord accepted Job's prayer. When we walk in the fullness of God's wisdom, it starts with knowing there's a bigger picture we don't see just at the moment, that he's not the author of bad things, that his wisdom and the extension of his love, and realize conventional wisdom, our wisdom, human wisdom has its limits, and trust in God's wisdom. God's wisdom always vindicates. And finally, God's wisdom always restores. My favorite part of the story in verse 10 says, after Job had prayed for his friends, the Lord restored his fortunes and gave him twice as much as he had before. The Lord restores in his wisdom and his time and gave him twice as much as he had before. The Lord blessed the latter part of Job's life more than the former part. He had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke oxen, and 1,000 donkeys. But more than that, he restored even the sons and the daughters and gave him new ones. After this, Job lived 140 years. He saw his children, their children, to the fourth generation. And so Job died an old man full of years. You want to know the answer to why? The question all of us is asking? Begin by understanding wisdom starts with knowing there's a bigger picture we don't see. That God is not the author of bad things, that God's wisdom and his extension is just merely an extension of his love. That when we search for wisdom, conventional wisdom, our wisdom, all human wisdom at some point has its limits, it will fail us. That the ultimate source of wisdom is God's wisdom, and God's wisdom will always vindicate, and God's wisdom always restores. As we continue, I want to talk to you about proclaiming the truth of who Jesus is. And I want to ask you to take a cup and a piece of bread as we receive communion and make our proclamation and declaring of who Jesus is. Lord Jesus, in you we proclaim a wisdom that is from heaven, a wisdom that has made foolish the wisdom of this world. We thank you for choosing us, the foolish things of this world, to shame the worldly wise and to demonstrate your heavenly wisdom. Your wisdom does not come from excellence of speech or persuasiveness based on human wisdom, but on the power of your Spirit. Thank you that in you we have become spiritual men and women who can discern your spiritual wisdom, which is foolishness to men. We proclaim that in you we have the wisdom of the ages, for we have your mind, O Jesus. To you be all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Every Nation Singapore podcast. We hope you've been blessed by today's message. For more information, visit everynation.org.sg.